It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, I guess, you know, for the next 2 hours, we might as well just call this the download featuring the Book Expo. The Book Expo is in town. Coming up at 9 o'clock, I'm very excited. Betsy Bird, our old friend from the Evanston Public Library, is bringing with her a couple of really renowned YA authors. Owen Colfer, who does the Artemis Fowl series, which is a huge series, and Shannon and Dean Hale, who have done so much stuff. They're actually working on a graphic novel for Marvel on Captain Marvel right now. They're coming over, and we're gonna talk about the industry surrounding YA coming up here. That'll be at 9 o'clock. Well, my guest tonight at the big table this hour is author Jonathan Shapiro. Shapiro's an Emmy Award-winning television writer and producer behind such hits as Boston Legal, The Practice, NBC's Blacklist. He's currently writing on the new Amazon Prime series Trial, starring Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt. But Shapiro doesn't just write for television. He's in town promoting his new novel, Deadly Force. It's a Lizzie Scott novel. It's the first in a trilogy. Jonathan is a former federal prosecutor, which informs his writing. He's able to take his experiences in the courtroom and apply it to his storylines. And on top of that, a unique insight to some of the big issues of our time, including here in Chicago, the relationship between police, prosecutors, and community. Jonathan Shapiro, welcome to the big table.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I mean, you joined Chicago. I mean, you're here for the Book Expo.
I cannot believe I haven't spent more time in Chicago. My wife is a Hoosier, if I can say that on the radio.
Yeah,
she's from Indiana. Did not know they had Jews in Indiana, but I met one and married her. And my God, I'm having fun. I saw the Cubs beat the Padres last night. I went to a place called, I'm not promoting it, Shaw's for Crab.
Of course.
And the Book Expo. So I'm having a great time.
Well, let's talk about this. I mean, because you have had a prolific career writing for television, Emmy Award winner. I mean, the shows that I mentioned, The Practice, Boston Legal, those are classic television shows that will be remembered forever. But this is your first novel. This is interesting to get into writing books as opposed to television. What drew you to writing Deadly Force?
I have enjoyed writing for television for the past 17 years, and it's a wonderfully collaborative process. You know, we're making a show right now for Amazon Prime, as you mentioned, with Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt. There's about 130 people on the crew. There's got to be a million executives giving me notes. And I wanted to just write something that was just all Johnny all the time. And the novel was timely because it's about a police shooting. It's about the relationship between poor communities of color and law enforcement. It comes out of the fact that when I was a federal prosecutor, I prosecuted police officers for excessive force. And I never felt that the public understood what's at stake or how difficult it is to bring those cases.
The nightmare scenario for a prosecutor, right?
And I had worked also as a member of the Rodney King federal prosecution team. So I wanted to create a world about the United States Attorney's Office in LA, about federal prosecution. I wanted to have a hero who's a woman, because I grew up on Chandler and Dashiell Hammett, and there are no women heroes.
Yeah, right.
And third, I wanted to do something, quite frankly, that I think would lend itself to be adapted for television.
Right. You thought about that.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, as a writer today, you have to think about the adaptation of what the life outside of the novel.
Well, the great thing is we live in a world where it's like the great Chicago meat companies that would use everything but the squeal. Right. We live in a world where whatever story you can create, you can make it a radio show, you can make it a television show, you can make it a movie, you can make it a graphic novel, you could make it a hat. And the point is, you're trying to reach as many people as possible. So I thought the Lizzie Scott novels would be a great way to let the world in to the sort of secretive world of federal prosecution. And for my daughter, create a woman hero who I'd never seen before.
Well, it's very complex. I mean, obviously, being a federal prosecutor and having to deal with a police shooting in any form, we're seeing this in Chicago with our state's attorney, Anita Alvarez, who has now recused herself because she lost her election. She don't want anything to do with that, because that is a very difficult thing to do, to prosecute a police officer. But, I mean, talk about, you know, you talked about wanting to create a hero and a heroine, and you came up with Lizzie Scott. What sets Lizzie Scott apart from, say, the run-of-the-mill federal prosecutor?
When I was a federal prosecutor for about 10 years, and if you were to ask me who was the most courageous prosecutor I ever worked with, her name was Lisa Lynch, single woman, lived in L.A. with a cat, and decided she was going to prosecute the Mexican mafia. And the U.S. Marshals at some point told her, look, we can't protect you. There's a button on you. They're looking to kill you. And we could teach you how to use a gun, but, you know, at some point you're on your own. Now, I will tell you that personally, had that been me, I would have probably gotten a job as a tax lawyer somewhere. I mean, it's so I just had such admiration for her. And so a little bit, Lizzie Scott is that type of woman. A lot like my mom. My mom was a bank teller for 40 years. She was held up 4 times at gunpoint. She always identified the robber. And no matter how much we tell her to just be quiet, she did the right thing.
Right.
And so that's sort of Lizzie Scott in a nutshell. She's a product of the Inland Empire in Southern California, which is our meth capital. It's the largest geographic area and the most populated area in the U.S. with the fewest number of prosecutors. So it's really the Wild West.
Yeah, that's there, right.
And she's a former athlete. And I describe her in the book as a very beautiful, big-boned woman. She's got a lot of interesting facets.
Let me ask you, do you as a writer, do you come up with the character or do you come up with the story first?
It all begins and ends with the story. And if you don't have a good story, it doesn't matter who the character is. Now, you could spot most writers a white whale and a one-legged sea captain, and they're not going to write Moby Dick. What you do with the story is what makes you successful or unsuccessful. And the first guy who gave me a job in television, David E. Kelley.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, arguably the greatest practitioner of the art, right? The only guy to ever win an Emmy for Best Comedy and Best Drama the same season, always said, it's the story. It doesn't matter who the characters are. Now, if you have a great story with great characters,
yeah,
then you got something great.
Then you got something great. Jonathan Shapiro, former federal prosecutor, also Emmy Award-winning producer and writer of shows like The Practice, Boston Legal, and now on Amazon Trial. The book is called Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I'd love to get a better understanding of the career trajectory to move from being a federal prosecutor to a TV writer. Not usually how it happens. So we'll talk a little bit with Jonathan about his career coming up here. It's a download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight, Jonathan Shapiro, Emmy Award-winning producer and writer. Shows like The Practice, Boston Legal, now on Amazon Trial, starring Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt. That's a new show. Do you like working with Amazon Prime?
Well, it's fantastic, and it's the brave new world we live in. They will release all 10 episodes at the same time. And based on their algorithms and their special sauce, they'll know everybody who watches it for how long, I know, right? And how much they enjoyed it and what they bought right afterwards.
We have a friend who was on the show, Stephen Conrad. He does the show The Patriot, which is Patriot, which is going to be on Amazon as well. And then he was talking about, like, they essentially did like a contest to win that. And that's what it was. Like, you could tell how many seconds. And it wasn't just about watching. It was about how long you watched it. Like,
see, if Snowden had stock in any of these things, I'm sure he wouldn't have had any problem.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I'm misreading it.
The novel, Jonathan Shapiro's in town for the Book Expo. He's got a novel out, Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel. He's a former federal prosecutor. I'm curious, how do you make a transition from that office to a writer's room?
So I always wanted to run for political office. That was the goal. I thought I would be the first Jewish president. Apparently, it's going to be Bernie Sanders, which is a big shock to me. But
I was going to say Rahm Emanuel, but...
So, well, it's funny you mention him, because he's the reason I'm not in politics. I did a special detail at the Justice Department, and one of my jobs was to report to Rahm Emanuel. And I went in there one time, and Rahm opened up on me like an artillery battery against the little sisters of the poor. And I walked out of there with my hair slick back and bleeding, and I thought, yeah, maybe I don't have what it takes.
He just wasn't, he didn't have what it takes, and it also was not a very pleasant experience.
You know what? It's a tough kind of love that feels tremendously like a horrible drubbing.
So what, I mean, at that point, you come out of that, and you're like, you know what, maybe I made the wrong choice in my life. I'm going to Hollywood.
Well, it's even worse than that. So then I went out to California, deciding I'd limit myself to state politics, and okay. I became the chief of staff for the lieutenant governor, married a lovely Jewish woman from Indiana, and I can say that because I'm Jewish. And she said that if I ran for office, she'd divorce me. So her name is Betsy Bourns, and she wrote for Friends, a little song called Smelly Cat, and she wrote for Roseanne. And she said after we had twins, you know, if you could sell a script and get into the Writers Guild, we could get double health benefits from Blue Cross.
Very practical. This was not a dream scenario for
apparently,
Jonathan Shapiro.
Apparently that's a very Hoosier attribute. At any rate, I wrote a script, and 2 weeks later I had a meeting with David Kelly, who is the creator of The Practice, and he said, did anything funny ever happen to you in a trial? And I told him a story that did happen. And he said, yeah, write that, you're hired. And gosh, that was
so. I mean, in a way,
17 years ago.
Your experience as a federal prosecutor actually got you the job because David E. Kelly, he was interested in people with actual experience in the stuff that they're writing.
Anyone in the Midwest who hears my voice, who wants to be a writer, take this one piece of advice. Don't do anything except have a life before you decide to be a writer. The fact of the matter is that I write about what I know. I know about what it's like to try a case. I know what it's like to prosecute a case. I know what it's like to have a client. I know what it's like to be hungover and have to do a closing argument. And for the past 16, 17 years for television and now for novels, this is what I write about. And it's a infinitely interesting theater of the human experience that I would never be able to write about unless I had lived it. And it's interesting. In Hollywood, we get so many young writers, when I'd have to staff one of my own shows, whose only life experience really is watching television or movies.
Yeah, or wanting to be a comedy writer.
Or wanting to be a writer.
Maybe they're a stand-up before they're...
Right.
Yeah.
And I just can't stress enough how, you know, the life of writing is human experience. Unless you have it, you have nothing to write about.
Were you able to fit in a writer's room? I mean, being a former federal prosecutor came in and David E. Kelly's like, this guy wrote a script, he's in. Treat him with respect. Like, I mean, how did you fit in with Hollywood writers?
Well, you know, because I have a face for radio, I don't know if the listener can tell how broken my nose is. I've never done well with people. I'm not what you would call a people person. That's one of the reasons I didn't run for office. I had a political consultant tell me once that in order to be successful in politics, you need a good first 2 minutes. And he said, you need about 2 months before people kind of warm up to you. And it just, there's not enough time. So I found it a complicated transition.
Plus, I mean, it's intimidating. You have a lot of writers who are competitive,
right?
You know, in different writers' rooms, and maybe they've gone up a certain way from intern to, you know, the assistant writer to another writer, and they finally get there, and then David E. Kelly's like, "Hey, this guy was a former federal prosecutor. He's your peer."
Well, I'll say this: I spent 10 years prosecuting federal crimes, including organized crime, Russian mafia, espionage cases. I was in the bare-knuckle world of politics. I've been in show business. Definitely the toughest room is show business because at least with criminals, there's some sense that, you know, they might actually kill you if you misbehave. There's no sense of that in show business. So it's all been a good training and an interesting experience.
All right, let's get I'm fascinated. I want to talk to you about, obviously, you know, what Deadly Force is about police shootings, prosecuting police officer. And that's something that's ripped from the headlines. I mean, obviously here in Chicago with the Laquan McDonald case and others, we are swimming in that controversy and everything that comes with it. Let's take a break for the news. When we come back, we'll talk with Jonathan Shapiro about the topic of his book, Deadly Force, but also what he thinks about, you know, police, community, prosecutors, and try to get an insight to all the things that are happening behind the scenes as this kind of unfolds in real time. Jonathan Shapiro, former federal prosecutor and Emmy Award-winning producer and writer, shows like The Practice, Boston Legal, and novelist Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel, is out now. It's a download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, Jonathan Shapiro, writer, producer, shows like The Practice, Boston Legal, now on Amazon Prime, Trial with Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt, Emmy Award winner, and he's got a new novel out. He's here for the Book Expo. The novel's called Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel, and it really kind of is ripped from the headlines. I mean, it's about a federal prosecutor who has to try a police officer for a shooting of an unarmed civilian. That's really is ripped from the headlines. I mean, today, Walter Scott's in the news. Right. Chicago, just yesterday, there's a big article here in Chicago that the task force that Mayor Emanuel put together suggests sweeping changes, calling the Chicago Police Department racist, calling it broken. But Mayor Emanuel has kind of dragged his feet a little bit on putting those changes in. And now the city council hasn't done anything. So it's just all of these storylines are just surrounding. I mean, is that the concept for you to be able to be as fresh and to be as timely as possible when writing a novel?
Well, I wrote Deadly Force because I was home with my kids watching CNN during the Ferguson riots. And my oldest son asked me, why doesn't the federal government prosecute the police officers? And I watched the talking heads on CNN, and I didn't hear one of them give the right answer. And I wanted to use the novel to be entertaining and to introduce the character Lizzie Scott. But I also wanted to point out that the hardest thing for any lawyer in America to do, the hardest case that any lawyer in America can try, is against a police officer. Every single person in America is presumed innocent. The police officer who's put on trial is presumed innocent and heroic. Now the burden of proof isn't just beyond a reasonable doubt. It's beyond a reasonable doubt and beyond all our hopes and dreams and expectations of what a police officer is supposed to be.
Is that why we see grand juries come back in cases where they're like, well, we don't want anything to do with this?
A grand jury, they always say, will indict a ham sandwich. And I say in my novel, Deadly Force, whoever said that never tried to indict a police officer, because the standard of proof that a grand jury, and I've indicted police officers in excessive force cases, the grand jury expected a case beyond a reasonable doubt when in fact the legal standard is probable cause. And someone asked me during one of these interviews, well, am I anti-police? And in my novel, Deadly Force, the hero is Lizzie Scott, the prosecutor. The other hero is an FBI agent named John Paul Jones, who's based on an FBI agent who I just saw in Arizona recently, who I did 20 cases with. I love law enforcement. They're heroes. They deserve our respect. What I don't understand, and maybe it's a union issue, is why, when a bad police officer does something that puts all police officers in danger, because that's the result of these cases, the police unions aren't the first ones saying, we've got to clean our own house. I think that the worst crime that can be committed in the United States is when a police officer violates his oath and abuses somebody. It deprives the person of due process, the Sixth Amendment right to counsel, the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, and every single civil right you can name now and forever. And I'll tell you the other reason I wrote the book. In Deadly Force, the Lizzie Scott novel, the victim is not black. And the reason the victim's not black is because in my state, most people who are killed by the police are Latino. When I prosecuted police beating cases, most of the victims were Latino. Here's what they all had in common. Put race aside. Black, white, everybody was poor. The great untold truth about police brutality cases is, if you're rich, you're not going to be a victim. If you're poor, you're more likely to be.
When you're a federal prosecutor, or prosecutor in any form, I mean, here in Cook County, you know, we top the state's attorney, Anita Alvarez, and, you know, How much goes through their mind about how the community is going to react? How much, do they have to think about, the fact that they have to not only prosecute someone who is, like you said, a hero? Does that come into play with prosecutors? Because they say on the podium it doesn't.
Well, they're lying. And I can't, that's political.
Because everybody's human.
Well, and I they may not know they're lying. They may be sincere when they say it, but they're not being honest with themselves. And in the book, in Deadly Force, I specifically talk about the political pressures and the professional pressures that weigh on a prosecutor and lead the prosecutor to not want to take this case on. When I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, the deal was do not prosecute a police officer until you're about to leave the office, because you're never going to be seen the same way by many members of law enforcement afterwards. You're going to be seen as a turncoat.
Right.
There's an us against them mentality.
Regardless of not even talking about the community at all. This is just in law enforcement, how law enforcement looks at the prosecutor who prosecutes.
And I'll take the Rodney King case as a good example. We've all seen the video.
Yeah.
I'm pro-prosecution. I'm pro-death penalty. 9 times out of 10, I am with the police on every single thing. I saw that video and I thought that was the worst kind of bullying and nonsense I'd ever seen. I don't see how anybody could have seen that video and not convicted.
Right.
They were completely acquitted on the state side, and we only batted 500 on the federal side. We didn't get all the counts. We didn't get all the defendants. So I guess the one unspoken truth of these cases from the prosecution standpoint is prosecutors are lawyers who expect to either do the job for life or to leave the job and get a really nice job at a law firm or maybe run for office. Prosecuting a police officer doesn't serve any of those interests.
Are you surprised? I mean, looking at the case in Chicago with Laquan McDonald, the big thing was how long it took for the prosecutor to actually press charges and also the amount of pushback, or at least what it seemed to be in conspiracy, the idea to keep the video out of the public's eye. Were you surprised at that part? Because that seems to be the part that people take out, how long it took for the prosecutor's office to actually do anything about this case. 300 plus days.
Well, nothing bothered me more in Los Angeles than when outsiders came and told us in LA what's wrong with our police department.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that to my friends in Chicago. I will tell you, it never surprises me when politicians tried to hide the fact that sometimes the police don't do the right thing. It doesn't surprise me when politicians and civil officials try to hide evidence or try to keep from the public evidence that could lead to an enormous civil lawsuit that is going to cost the city millions of dollars. Matter of fact, I would say, as lawyers, they were probably doing what they thought was the best they could do for their city by keeping that video out. There's a conflict, and that's what the book is about. The novel Deadly Force is about the inherent conflict between public officials' responsibility to enforce the law with their similar responsibility to try to keep the city from having to pay out millions of dollars,
right,
that if paid to a victim of civil rights can't be used to educate our kids, can't be used to run the buses, can't be used to make the sidewalks safe. This is the fact, and it's an ugly fact, but if we're really going to talk about these cases, let's talk about all of them. It's not just about race. It's
right.
Not just about one ethnic group. It's about a tremendous number of conflicting interests, many of them valid, many of them worthy, all of them put under stress because one police officer broke his oath and became a bully.
Let me ask you, I mean, this is just more of a bigger question since I have you in the room. But, one of the things that I heard in this last primary election in the state of Illinois was, should the top prosecutor, should that be an elected position? Should that be a politician? I mean, you're a federal prosecutor, so you're not getting elected to these roles. But, a state's attorney in the county of Cook, has an elected position. It has long been a political position. Mayor Daley, the youngest, That's what he did before he was mayor. I mean, it's a stepping stone, just like you're saying. And hearing you say that that's what prosecutors want, lawyers want to either move to a private law firm, run for office, or whatever the third one was. Should we think about more appointments of those kind of top prosecutors and maybe election?
One of the heroes of my novel, Deadly Force, is the chief of the criminal division, Dante D'Ambrosio, who's based on the chief of the criminal division when I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, whose name was Robert Brosio. Robert Brosio hated two things more than anything on earth: ambition in his prosecutors and incompetence. If he found out you were thinking of leaving the office, he'd fire you. And if he thought you were going to run for office, he'd fire you, because he believed that the greatest privilege anyone could have was to stand up in court and say, "My name is Jonathan Shapiro, and I represent the United States of America. If I were king of the world, I would not have elected district attorneys, and I wouldn't have elected judges."
Right.
Apparently, my wife tells me I'm not going to be elected king of the world. And she also informs me that might be a good thing, which I find surprising.
That's surprising.
Yes.
Jonathan Shapiro, former federal prosecutor and Emmy Award-winning producer and writer for shows like The Practice and Boston Legal. His novel, Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel, is out now. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap this up. He's my guest at the big table. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the big table tonight, Jonathan Shapiro, Emmy Award winner, producer, writer, The Practice, Boston Legal, The Blacklist. I mean, those are the big. I mean, you've worked in TV for how long now?
Forever.
Forever.
Had my own shows on the air briefly, critically acclaimed and poorly watched. And Samuel Johnson said, "Any man who writes for any reason other than money is a blockhead." And I've always been proud of the fact that I've never been unemployed in show business. That's how you know I'm a success, because that's no small feat.
Well, you're here for the novel, Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel. You're at the Book Expo here. And you're working in television now on Trial, which is it's Amazon Prime.
The kids say it drops in October.
It drops in October.
All the episodes, yes.
I guess the question I have is, it's such an interesting way to come from a life as a federal prosecutor where that was a very burnout job, I'm assuming, but it was steady work. It wasn't sort of like by seasons, right? To move into a career in which, you know, you could work on a show like The Blacklist and be like, this is great, but it's finite, meaning it's 2 years, it's 3 years, and then you got to work on another show, and you got to work on another show. Do you like that kind of lifestyle as a writer? Do you like the idea of having a different job every year?
Yes. I mean, I have to be honest. It's never boring. But it's also, you reminded me how tough the transition was to go from a federal government job to show business. The guy in the office next to mine at the U.S. Attorney's Office was in the job for 17 years, and the only reason he lost the job is because they indicted him for taking bribes.
Almost the only way you could lose that job, right?
I had an assistant at the U.S. Attorney's Office who threatened to kill me, and we still didn't fire her because she was always on time. I join show business. I go into my first show, and I get my first show on the air, which, by the way, is incredibly difficult to do. It's like getting into the major leagues. I go through the pilot. I get my show on the air. It's so thrilling. It stars Don Johnson. I didn't pick him, but he's very good. And the show's on the air, and you know, I got 120 people working for me, and I'm the king of Hollywood. My agent calls me on a Tuesday. He says, "What are you going to do next?" I said, "What do you mean?" "I'm going to a production meeting."
He's like, "This is great." Yeah.
"No, you're not. Your show's about to be canceled. 5 minutes, they're going to call you. They're going to tell you the show's canceled. Try to act surprised." So the next day, I went from getting 115 calls on my call sheet to none. My wife wouldn't answer my calls. So the thing about show business, the great thing about it is it's very fair and it's very just. If you're a success, you're a genius. If you're not, you really don't deserve to live. and everybody understands it.
You know, moving to, as you know, we talked about a little bit earlier, I mean, working in a novel in this form, you control the storyline. It's just you. You get this opportunity working with an editor, but you get this opportunity to express yourself in a different kind of way. Do you see yourself, I mean, obviously this is a trilogy. Do you see yourself moving in that direction? Do you see TV being something that you're evolving away from?
I think we're living in this great time where television, like I entered it and like we've experienced it, isn't going to be the same. I think that what we're doing for Amazon right now with Billy Bob and William Hurt, you know, we're doing limited season, 10 episodes. I think the Deadly Force trilogy will be a 6-episode arc, and we'll get to do it every few years. We're going really to the BBC model, where mm-hmm. you don't do 22 episodes,
right, right.
You don't mass produce these
things.
Do you
like that?
Well, from a writing standpoint, it's a better situation because you get to tell the best story you can without having to spread it thinly. And you know, there are times in 22 episodes where you're like a tailor trying to make a small coat for a fat guy. There's just not enough material. And I think the public is demanding storytelling that is powerful, quick, at a high level. And they're not real patient with things that aren't immediate anymore.
We had a couple people in here. Dan Harmon was in here not too long ago, and I always ask television writers, especially ones that have worked and won an Emmy, you know, he mentioned that it's sort of the golden age for television for those who have experience. If you're a younger writer, if you're coming in now, the idea that this is spread out, Netflix, Amazon, everything, it's a little bit tougher because you're not going to make the amount of money that writers used to make. You know, but that the mid-level veterans and people who have been awarded for their work, this is the best time to be a TV writer.
I think that's right. I mean, it's there are more opportunities to do more interesting work. The reason I wrote the novel, Deadly Force, is because we're also in this strange place where content is so important that if you can create new material and own it in one form, you can translate it to other platforms. And I would say to anybody, and I talked to a young writer today who wants to get into television, the best advice I can give them besides, you know, join the Merchant Marines or become a whaler or something interesting, write a novel. Self-publishing.
It's almost like a spec script.
And it will bring great attention in Hollywood because, God bless us out there, we are so impressed by people. Forget writing a book. Anyone who's read a book starts with such an advantage.
Jonathan, you've lived a life, you know, you kind of mentioned it, you know, about sort of Jonathan Shapiro, you know, I represent the United States of America. You've lived a life, especially in that realm as a federal prosecutor where, you know, it's a fulfilling job. I mean, your job is to put criminals away and protect our sort of, you know, society. Do you feel fulfilled as a writer? Do you feel the same sort of fulfillment in this new career?
I will never feel as proud or as fulfilled as I did as a federal prosecutor because to put bad people in prison for abusing other people is as good as it gets. On the other hand, you know, I've written episodes. I was fortunate enough to win a Peabody Award for an episode of Boston Legal I wrote about the death penalty, where we actually, and I scripted out what it looks like to actually execute someone. Because it seems to me that if we're going to do something like that, we ought to see it. We ought to understand what it looks like to mm-hmm. kill someone who doesn't want to die. And I say that as someone who's pro-death penalty. You can have an enormous influence in this country. You can reach millions of people with your writing. That's very satisfying.
Jonathan Shapiro, his novel Deadly Force, a Lizzie Scott novel, is out now. He's also the Emmy Award-winning producer and writer of shows like The Blacklist, The Practice, Boston Legal, and his show Trial, which will be out in October. It's on Amazon Prime, Billy Bob Thornton and William Hurt. Jonathan, thanks for being my guest tonight at the big table.
It's a real pleasure. And I just so the listeners know, it's a huge table. It's not just a big table. It's enormous. I can't even see you. It's so big.
That was great.
It was tremendous.
You know, he's right. I mean, he's so right. in the final point he made about being able to reach millions of people with television. I mean, you can write shallow kind of, you know, comedy stuff and get people to laugh or whatever, but those shows like The Practice and Boston Legal, to win a Peabody in television is very difficult, especially situational or drama, not documentary and things like that. So, you know, to actually take on issues of our day in television, that's what we want. We want more Jonathan Shapiros.
Mm-hmm.
And he's funny. He's a funny guy.
It helps.
All right, coming up, we're going to continue with the Book Expo stuff. Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to talk with some of the YA authors that are in town from the Book Expo. Owen Colfer, which is awesome, and also Shannon and Dean Hale. These are people that are writing. I mean, these are the books that your teenagers are consuming at alarming rates and flipping out. And you're like, I don't know what this is. I'm waiting for that. I have an 8-year-old. I'm waiting for that. I want to get past Minecraft.
It's coming.
We'll talk about it. Let's talk about it coming up after the news here.